months back, Chris and I talked about how to properly size virtual machines, how to give them enough CPU and memory and so on, but not too much. Of course, the more hosts and the more virtual machines you have, the more challenging this problem becomes, and let's not forget that virtual machine requirements change as application demands change. Assigning virtual resources at build time probably isn't good enough for the long term. Our sponsor today, freshly renamed Turbonomic and formerly VM Turbo, has built an application performance control platform for virtualization and cloud environments that lets you put application performance on autopilot. At least that's the promise. We're going to find out just how real this technology is on today's DataNauts with a special focus on public cloud integration. Before we start the conversation, let's introduce ourselves. I am Ethan Banks, at EC Banks, and with me is speaker, author, polar explorer, celebrity chef, and ultimate frisbee champion, co-host Chris Wall, at Chris Wall. Joining us today from Turbonomic is Eric Wright, principal solutions engineer and technology evangelist. Eric, welcome to the show, and please introduce yourself to the DataNauts audience.
Well, thank you, Ethan. Man, I got to get you to voice over everything that I ever do from now on. That's awesome. So my name is Eric Wright. As mentioned, I'm the principal solutions engineer for Turbonomic, also the technology evangelist. Most folks may know me as at Disco Posse on Twitter. That's the easiest way to find me. My personal blog is discoposse.com. And I have the lucky role of being able to kind of split the line between the external community face for Turbonomic, as well as bringing detail back from the outside world in and helping our engineering team to kind of figure out the right way to tackle some of these problems out in the industry.
That's fair enough. And you were actually kind enough to come join us, I think, on our third show when the podcast launched to talk about OpenStack. We're going to probably tickle on that today. But I think the first thing that is on the top of my mind and everyone listening is rebranding. You're now Turbonomic. Can you tell us a little bit about how that came about?
Yeah, it's always the fun part of choosing a name. Choosing a name is more difficult when you've already got one. And Turbonomic came about because we wanted to move away from the concept and the attachment to VM. And it's funny that if we look at VM, people think of like VM Turbo. And so we always get associated with VMware and we're virtual machine based. When in fact, that is really, it's like a lot of our roots, but truthfully, that was never the vision. And VM in the VM Turbo doesn't even actually stand for virtual machine. It was virtualization management. The funny thing is, just like everything was called something 2000, you know, back in the day, there was a lot of VM things. And we've made the change towards Turbonomic, especially because we're far beyond just virtual machine management. Our real focus is on the applications, and we also span into every hypervisor that's available today, as well as out into private and public cloud platforms. So Turbonomic is the combination of autonomic as well as economic. Turbo was such a powerful part of our brand, and we wanted to stay along those lines because that's truthfully, you know, we want to sort of turbocharge. That was a bit of the piece of it. But again, you know, autonomic with the idea of it being an unconscious system that makes things occur without you having to deal with it. And then economic, because we literally are a patented economic scheduling engine, that was the IP that we're all wrapped around inside Turbonomic itself. So that's another part of it. So that's how Turbonomic came to be.
Now, Eric, one of the things you mentioned in there was that some people had incorrectly just put you in the VMware bucket. Oh, you're for optimizing VMware environments. But in fact, you're a virtualization management platform that deals with a lot of different hypervisors and platforms. So can you – we're going to talk about this in more detail as we go on. But just at a high level, kind of give us the range of products that you integrate with.
Yeah, obviously, VMware was top of list just because they were the – de facto standard as far as virtualization in the data center. Microsoft Hyper-V, we kind of like, you know, we chuckle about Hyper-V and blue screens and such, but the truth is they have a really strong presence today, you know, as well as looking forward with Azure Stack. You know, pretty much within a month of the true launch of Azure Stack, we'll be fully integrated. In fact, we're probably working on, you know, we're working on the Azure Stack and its technology preview right now. We also work with Xen, with KVM when fronted by OpenStack, or Overt with RHEL and the Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization Platform. And then, of course, like I said, it's out into the public cloud platform. So we work now with AWS, with Azure, with SoftLayer, and we continue to spread The advantage we have is that we've created a common abstraction layer, and our patented economic scheduling engine uses that abstraction in order to derive pricing to be able to match the demand of the applications to the supply of resources. That's like a real nutshell view of it. We cover the gamut, and our question always comes where, will you work with X? In fact, we work with PowerVM as well, which is kind of funny. I forget to say that because it's not our strong area of growth, but the truth is we have PowerVM customers, and we are able to actually deliver application performance and controls within a PowerVM platform as well.
As we're recording this, it's about a month before VMworld, and I know you guys are a big presence at the VMworld show. Are you going to be Turbonomic at VMworld?
Yes. Yeah, so that's always the fun part. Because of the timing of rebranding, there's a lot of logistics going around print and press releases and all sorts of good stuff. At the time that folks are going to hear this live, we'll have completed our first pass on the rebrand and everything. And yeah, we will be Turbonomic at the event. There's going to be little smidgens of VM Turbo around because, of course, we are a very well-regarded name. We're 1,400-plus customers, and we're not unknown in the industry. So that's, we don't want to shed the folks that already know us as VM Turbo, and we want to bring those forward and explain why Turbonomic is a much more important name that we want to attach to the brand that we actually deliver.
When we talked about public cloud, I would agree with Eric. I'm seeing some growth and maturity and just interest and energy around Microsoft Azure. I mean, it's a really simple environment to consume. I think the hardest part is just figuring out how you want to say the word. But pricing considerations can and really should remain top of mind for running any application. You know, you may like one particular cloud environment over another, but if it costs 20% more, that can be a tough pill to swallow. So it's good to see that, hey, we're seeing some growth in it. Yes, Turbonomic supports that environment, and they're going to look at pricing across that environment in addition to others. What about you, Ethan?
Well, my takeaway was very simple. That is, I had pegged the Turbonomic, formerly VM Turbo, in this VMware bucket. Like, this is what they're good for. You kind of overlay their intelligence magic on top of your VMware environment, and they make things better with all of the resource management and so on. But that's not true, right? Yes, they do those things, but they encompass the entirety of compute as we think about it today. And he really got into a whole lot of examples. As you mentioned, you know, Azure, you know, talk about cloud integration and so on. It's not just for VMware. It's wrong to put them in that bucket. No matter what you're running for compute, they can help. They can do something for you.
Well, Eric, I like that the rebranding exercise reflects the state of the art for VM Turbo, now Turbonomic, just because the crystal ball can't necessarily tell you when you found a company where it's going to go necessarily, and you have to follow market trends and what people want. And to highlight that, a couple years ago, I ended up rocking VM Turbo in my environment and deploying the operations manager to integrate with Cisco UCS as an example. And at the time, that was pretty groundbreaking because it gave me this end-to-end stack view of all of the network traffic and performance consumption of resources and CPU and whatnot for my virtual machine workload, all the way down to the UCS Fabric Interconnect and what blade it was in and the virtual NIC and all that kind of jazz. It really gave me that end-to-end perspective that I couldn't find kind of outside of the ecosystem that Turbonomic, you know, formerly VM Turbo, had. Tell me a little bit about the pace of innovation with the company. You seem to add a lot of different features. You have all the different hypervisors. You're moving at a pretty breakneck pace there.
It's interesting because the core IP, you know, of the scheduling, the engine itself, and that abstraction layer, that's where the real work happened early on at the, you know, the founding of the company and that first launch. And it's interesting because now our integrations with other products and platforms becomes much simpler because we simply need to map it against the abstraction layer so that we can understand how to be able to price infrastructure in order to, first of all, stitch it together. Because there's one thing is just taking an individual entity or commodity and giving it a pricing as it matches within our algorithm. And then secondly, to truly stitch together what the flow is. UCS is a great example because we've got the ability to view applications down into virtual machines, down into the host, down into chassis and blade infrastructure. We can see into FIs, we can see into all portions of it. And we can even, using UCS Director, we can actually get into heat and power consumption. Those don't play in as strongly as some of the other active, continuous, fluctuating changes, such as memory, network, storage, and CPU. But it is part of the equation. And what's really cool with UCS is we can actually view what the current blade layout is. And part of our actionable decisions that we present is we could say, like, deploy a new blade. And in most environments, you would just say, like, please deploy another host, because there's only so much stuff we can do. I'd love to say we could issue a PO, get it to your VAR and get them to ship it, and then we would plug it in for you. But we haven't quite got there yet.
Oh, I bet you love if we could just auto-ship POs.
Oh, I know.
So would every vendor.
But for UCS, the play is already there, because you could technically have cold blades in the infrastructure. And because UCS Director has the ability to put them into production, we've actually got active use cases, and we're working with Cisco on customers that do that, where they actually have cold infrastructure ready, and we can actually turn up resources as needed. And also, more importantly, we can actually turn it down. So we can quiesce active hosts when they're not necessary. And it sounds like a weird thing to do, because people say, like, well, why would I take a host down when it's active in production? Why not just leave it idle? Well, there's a number of things, you know, power consumption, licensing. If you have the potential to be able to trim back your license count for a host, whether it's vSphere or Hyper-V or whatever it is, that's a true economic impact of making that decision. And when the applications are getting the performance and supply of infrastructure they need with the existing infrastructure, and that demand's being met, then there may be a real decision in front of you to say, hey, look, we can save you a spend by doing that. So it's not just like reducing the buy down the road, but you can literally reduce it today. And you can also get more longevity out of the infrastructure you've got. Truthfully, a lot of environments don't necessarily have a lot of cold systems just hanging around on the shelves. So it's not as popular a use case as resizing of VMs and such.
Eric, you've hit on something really important here, though, that I wanted to make sure I really grasp this. Because you had said this when you were talking about why Turbonomic as a rebranding choice. And you said one of the aspects of that is economic. And then you've been talking about dollar costs and so on. Yet from an engineering perspective, a lot of us that build infrastructure, it's mostly a CapEx. That's the primary consideration. Design for peak, throw as much hardware at the problem as you think you're ever likely to need for the next 5 years, and then off you go. But what you're suggesting is, you know, buy a reasonable amount and then let Turbonomic. And this is what I want to understand here. You've got dollar costs assigned with things. So there's an OPEX and a CAPEX understanding of compute requirements that can help me make a decision, or you're making the decision for me. Drill into that.
It's one of those things I should have checked with legal to make sure I can lay this use case out. But I'll just say a large hardware and enterprise software vendor has their own internal cloud infrastructure running with us on it. And they were growing 20% or so quarter over quarter on hardware. They were at a massive continuous growth. And they deployed Turbonomic, VM Turbo at the time, in their infrastructure. And as a result of taking the actions and recommendations that we provided, they've actually stopped buying hardware. And I think now we're at almost 18 months that they have not purchased new host hardware. So the pattern of growth, if you looked on what they thought they needed, they would have bought another 6 consecutive quarters of 20% host count. And as a result, now they've literally not bought a piece of hardware for almost 2 years.
Which is not just a hardware problem. It's not just I'm buying servers and now it's rack space, it's power, it's cooling, it's data center floor space, all of those things that add up dramatically when you're operating an IT environment. So it's making the most of what you've already got and not just wasting, or not wasting, but just not utilizing CPU cycles and memory, et cetera, that are available to you.
Exactly. The true driver for all of it is application performance. When we get asked, so what does VM Turbo do? What does Turbonomic do? Like that common question always comes up, and everybody has a different 2-minute elevator pitch on how to describe it. But our founder, Shmuel Klieger, he very simply lays it out in the simplest phrase: we assure application performance. Wham! It just doesn't get cleaner than that. How we do it is where the story gets exciting, and that's it. So running better, more efficient infrastructure while assuring application performance. Everything is always done in the context of assuring application performance. And then like I said, monitoring is the one we always get attached to as well. Like, oh, you guys are a great monitoring product. No, we just so happen to monitor. That's how we assure application performance. But that's a side effect in order for us to be able to gather instrumentation, make decisions that are actionable, that can assure application performance, and utilize your infrastructure as efficiently as possible.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the world has enough monitoring tools right now. It's great to show me graphs and generate some reports now and again, but I need a system that can help me make decisions with all of that data that's being gathered, which is even more critical as our ability to gather and analyze data grows. It's getting to the point where we can analyze everything. We don't just have to do occasional samples. Like in the network space, it's moved from a point of SNMP sampling to I can analyze every packet on the wire and make decisions with that data. And that's where the value is now, not just screens of graphs and the reporting and so on.
And all that data can actually be augmented into our system. So we actually can use the Turbonomic engine and we can bring additional outside information in. So we're looking at like Intel Snap as a very cool example right now. They're doing lots of interesting stuff around like sort of like sub-second data gathering. We don't want to necessarily be polling it, but if there's a product that's in your environment that's polling at that level, whether it's like a Dynatrace or AppNetter or other third-party monitoring, you know, solar winds as well, it's like, give us that data, feed it into our common engine, and then it adds more intelligence to the decisions that we provide you to be able to assure application performance.
Yeah, and I remember reading some of the passages through the Site Reliability Engineering book that the folks at Google kind of compiled with their stories, and they're making some good points around automation isn't almost good enough anymore. We need something that can, a system that can take information, take telemetry and monitoring information, and act upon it in an automatic format. Because just giving you information and having a human interact with it is not enough. We need a system that can also take a look at the system and handle those kind of low to mid-level requirements for you. Yeah, it'll log that information, but you know, you need something that's making those decisions, which brings me to the idea, Eric, of getting a little deeper in the weeds here. You talked about handling application performance. How are we doing that? And how are we integrating the decisions that are made with cloud management platforms and APIs and things like that so that we can make decisions among multiple cloud platforms?
Ah, good question. This is where the fun happens. You know, we're going to use the magic phrase, it's all in the APIs, right? The way that we work is completely agentless. And that's a very important tenet of everything that we do. We do not want to have tightly coupled integration with anything. So our interactions with all of the infrastructure we are able to assure performance within is all done through external APIs. We have some integrations through SDK, but ultimately it's not tightly coupled. If our environment were to slip away for a few minutes, your environment doesn't stop working, and the reverse is true as well. And then when we looked at the cloud use case, that's where it's even more important because, of course, cloud is all about loosely coupled infrastructure, entirely driven by APIs. And that's where the works happens, that we have both an inbound API to be able to interact with Turbonomic. And then we also work through external APIs. You know, so if we look at AWS, Azure, SoftLayer, and all the other platforms that we're working with that are on that public side and that we're going to work with, we just take our instruction set to be able to gather instrumentation and then be able to initiate control actions. And that's all done through the API. Same thing with auto-scaling. And that's where what's neat is if we look at, if you've got an external load balancer, we plug into like a Citrix NetScaler and we can actually read the application. We stitch together what the application looks like, not just CPU memory, but also network, north, south, east, west. An entire view of what the application infrastructure looks like. And all the decisions that we make are done. So we can actually say, hey, look, you need to horizontally scale this application. It's capable of scaling. We discovered it through the load balancer. So what we do is we can issue an auto scale through whatever your infrastructure is. Again, all done through the API. I always want to wrap the caveat around that. You can't just plug in Turbonomic and it will suddenly scale your applications for you. Now, you have to have that in place already. However, we integrate with your auto-scale capability, whether it's natively through your own cloud management platform, whether it's vRealize. We also work with ManageIQ and also the commercial side of the cloud forms by Red Hat. And that's what's really cool. VRealize, especially because we get lumped into the same group as VRealize a lot of times because we dance a little bit around like operations management. But we have such a different way to approach it that we do not take away from the VRealize story. In fact, we enhance it, and they don't do what we do because they do something different and they do it well. And so that's where the API integration is very, very cool. And we've got a couple of providers that we work with, and that's what they specialize in, is like private cloud deployments using VRealize. And Turbonomic is the engine that drives both initial placement and then continuous real-time sizing and resizing of the infrastructure on the fly.
Now, Eric, is this third-party tools integrating with Turbonomic's API or Turbonomic integrating with their APIs or both?
It's both. So if we think of sort of the next generation stuff, which is really cool, you know, when we look at the way forward, we have an R&D group that specializes, they're called our advanced solutions team, and they specialize in stuff like we're doing Kubernetes and Mesosphere and that real sort of next gen stuff. They're the ones that deliver Docker integration very early. We're doing the same thing with Rocket, you know, Cloud Foundry. So we can read and gather instrumentation out of those APIs and then also interact through those APIs into those parties. VRealize for us is we're passive to VRealize. If you use a VRealize workflow where you want to deploy an application, part of it is you add us in as part of the workflow to query the Turbonomic API, request a resource placement. We provide that placement in a JSON reply, feeds it back into the workflow, and then it does the initial deploy. And then from that point forward, we do the continuous real-time application performance management inside. And VRealize doesn't have to know about that because it's done. Its recipes are completed.
A lot of what we've talked about to me sounds like local infrastructure. This is stuff that I own. But then you've mentioned some stuff that sounds like public cloud. So is there a public cloud integration here where if I'm running some of my workloads in public cloud, I got a hybrid cloud infrastructure, do you play in that space too?
Ooh, this is where advanced solution meets legit, you know, real-time stuff that's going on today. As we look at deploying into the cloud, the business thing is always like, but what do we put out there? Gee, I don't know. Perhaps we should ask Turbonomic. Right? That's the salesy version of it. The reality is that we know what your infrastructure is today. We are your application performance management platform on the on-premises stuff. You look out to the public cloud, we already integrate fully with public cloud today. So we gather instrumentation from the cloud. We are able to view the applications.
Well, be more specific. You don't just integrate with public cloud. That's not a thing. I mean, there's all kinds of different providers out there, tons and tons of them. So, I mean, I'll assume the big ones like AWS and Azure maybe. Is there like a list of public cloud people you integrate with?
Yeah. So it's like I said, right now is AWS, Azure, and SoftLayer. Those are the big three. Google is one that we've been asked about, again, where we sort of chase active customer use cases, which is why AWS was obviously an early hit. The first thing is dealing with performance, you know, being able to gather instrumentation from the platform, because right now AWS doesn't really give you that much information if you're looking at it. You just know that I've got an instance out there. You maybe know what region it is. Well, imagine the ability to get the application performance metrics in real time out of that environment, be able to decide about resizing to deliver application performance. So being able to change the flavor that you're applying to it, whether it's, you know, T2.nano, you should upgrade this to a micro instance or up to a C2, et cetera, et cetera. So we see the different flavor sizes and instance sizes, and we can make actionable recommendations to be able to resize those instances.
Yeah, but there's a cost aspect to this too.
Right, which is where the real sweet spot comes in. Because not only have we seen the performance side of it, but we actually see the real active operational cost. So through the pricing API, we gather the information about what the real cost of the infrastructure is. So right now we're actually working already with Verizon, and we have a platform that we've built together called Verizon's Intelligent Cloud Control, which uses Turbonomic as the core engine to deliver performance and price. So through one interface, you're able to see where it's most economic to deploy your infrastructure. We tell you before and after, like if you take these recommendations to resize your instance infrastructure, these will be the actual operational savings. And not only that, but we do it region by region. and cloud by cloud. So you can take, you know, with the VICC, we actually added in all three of our active cloud platforms. And so we can say, if you were to deploy it into AWS, into X region, this is what it's going to be. So US East 1 would be this much. If you were to move it to US West 1, this would be the increase or decrease in cost per month, per day, per hour. That's something that just no one is able to do today, because you're either dealing with price management or you're dealing with performance management. And there isn't a platform out there in the environment today other than Turbonomic that can do both.
You just reminded me of something we covered in the beginning. You gave that example of the people that they were able to stop buying hardware for an 18-month period of time because they'd overbought. That sounds like it applies to public cloud too. Rather than having a bunch of instances sitting out there that maybe I'm not doing that much with, I could consolidate all that and get some money back out of this.
Exactly. And one of the things with AWS as an example, you know, I run a ton of AWS infrastructure because I'm a goofy nerd and I do these things all the time. So I'm constantly testing out features, and I'll go in and like, you just forget if you've got stuff running in like five different regions, you have to like drill through each region individually, or you can pull it from the API. So the UI for AWS, not terribly usable if you want a big picture view. Now with Turbonomic, we deliver our supply chain view where you can see every, you know, virtual data center, and that in, when the virtual data centers are presented, including the AWS regions. So it'll show you each region and how many instances are in each one. And then you can drill down and get that. So you can actually get a visibility on top of, you know, as a side effect to the fact that we deliver application performance and price controls within those, that infrastructure, which is a nice sort of marriage of all three pieces.
Yeah, that makes sense. Having worked with a number of customers that are using public cloud, and typically a couple of them, they have credits with one and they're trying another, it's a challenge to wrap your head around, where is all my stuff? And it seems like such a simple question, you know, where's all my stuff? But there is not necessarily a dashboard that just gives you visibility to all of your workloads. And we're not even talking about pricing visibility and performance. We're just talking about, where's my stuff? Who moved my cheese to the cloud, and where is that cheese? And so you're saying, not only do I get that visibility, it's telling me, am I being lean and mean on price? Should I make some moves to some other place? And then hopefully, is there an API I can call that after I make a move and I've saved 50 grand that I could get a few percentage points of that? Can I get like a raise based on what I've changed from the engineer?
Yeah, well, you can actually, we do have dashboards that show both performance and you know, we're working on what the right sort of price savings will be. What's cool is we have the ability to deliver side by side where it shows the performance graph and then the actions graph. So it shows you the correlation between decisions and actions that were taken within Turbonomic and then the relationship to the performance results. So there's no question that there are real responses to actions that you take. And one more thing on the price, you know, we kind of look at the way hybrid cloud was told as a story 3 years ago was that you're going to have something that runs on premises and you're going to have a hybrid cloud version that attaches to it. And it's going to like move back and forth across the stretched layer 2 domain. Teehee. How many people run like that? None, you know, or nearly none. The truth is hybrid cloud is a multi-cloud thing. And especially now that people are going to run more than one cloud platform. Even if you run one single one, the ability for us to be able to understand the pricing of the external public cloud platforms and understanding what the true utilization from historical and continuous real-time on-premises. We also have the ability in our planner, I shouldn't even use that word, we're not sure, it's a plan view within the environment right now where you can say like what if scenarios. What if I were to add a host or double my workload or decrease hosts? What would the net result be on performance and price? We can do that now for the public cloud. So what if I were to take these 40 virtual instances that are running on vSphere? What if I were to move them to AWS? What would the true operational cost be of doing that? And again, always done in the context of application performance. We'll show you that if you were to do that, you're going to be grossly over deployed. And the tagline that we've very importantly attached to this is, when you think about public cloud, it's not pay for what you use, it's pay for what you provision. And that's a big difference, because you provision, you may not actually use all of it. You're still paying for it. So like you said, Chris, those instances that are just hanging around out there that you may forget about, being able to go into one single interface and see the net price result if you were to decrease and literally just go in there and be able to drill down into one inventory view and see it. I'm not going to lay the single pane of glass thing. It's just not a reality. In fact, our goal is to enable as much automation as you can within Turbonomic so that you literally don't even have to go in there. You can view reports and you can do other things, but you should just be simply letting it run as a true autonomic application performance control system. And then just go back and check on every once in a while and make sure it's doing things. The way that autopilot works for pilots today, hey, the pilots are there. You're not going to stop hiring pilots. But they do different things now compared to what they did. And that's the today's sysadmins. It's we're the new pilots. We're able to get smarter and do cooler new things because we've got an autonomic system that's running underneath the covers that's dealing with performance for us.
So, Eric, that's one last point of clarification I'm interested in. So, right, you just made a big point about allowing Turbonomic to do what it does without me as a systems administrator and infrastructure engineer having to mess around with it a lot. So when we're dealing with costs and Turbonomic determines I could save a few pennies here, a few dollars there, is there some decision point where that gets escalated up to the engineer to make the call? Or some thresholding that's set, you know, where some human should be involved? Or do you set it to just, you know, turn the dials on autopilot and let it go?
Today, we can deliver it by saying, you know, here's, you know, whether it's, you know, reports you want to gather and saying like, hey, here's the state of affairs as it is today. With our pricing features that we're building much more around, you know, we're going to be able to, we deliver this today in the Verizon environment, and this is coming into our user experience as well, is that you define a budget within Turbonomic. And as you approach that budget, not only will you be told, hey, guess what, Ethan, you totally blew out your budget. But if you set the policy to never exceed that budget, all of the decisions that we make around delivering performance are going to be done in the context of that as a constraint. So it's going to say, hey, look, you should increase the instance size. However, the constraint is that you've applied. You don't want me to spend more money than this. So it'll say, you should do this, but here's why you can't, because there's a constraint in the environment. And that's what's really neat too, especially in the new UI and new UX that we're working through, is around taking a look at the actionable decisions, taking a look at the policies that are limiting us from taking some of these decisions. Because you can't be autonomic without some kind of bumpers, right? We have to have some guardrails. And our policy engine is what we do, because we take the existing policies in your infrastructure today and we pull those in as, so we treat them as, you know, read-only policies, like with VMware and with Hyper-V around affinity, anti-affinity, and lots of other features. Tagging, all that stuff. So that's all brought in. That's what allows us to be comfortable with truly being an autonomic platform, because you give it the guardrails and then you set it free. And that's where pricing is becoming the real meat of what we're going to do and what we're already doing in test customers today in the public cloud platforms.
You know what really hit me here? The cost aspect of operating infrastructure is something that you really have to focus on, even if you're an engineer. And that's something that engineers don't like to think about. I mean, when you're sitting in that seat, you just want your stuff. You know, you want your servers and your network and your storage to work. And you want it to be bigger than you need. You want to have plenty of capacity there. You don't want to think about money. When the budget time comes around, I need the biggest, baddest thing you can possibly get for me. And price is something that you kind of go, oh, it costs money, I know, but that's what I want. Get that. That's the thing. But cost is really a huge thing. I mean, just bureaucratizing it, I don't think that's really cool anymore. And Turbonomic is hitting this, taking that straight on. You know, that example of not having to buy hardware for 18 months, because effectively says it indicted their former process. They had been overbuying. And that's something we can all, as engineers, start to wrap our brains around. Not just give me the biggest, baddest thing, but how do I make the most of what I already have? And how do you actually do that? You need a tool that can inform you of that and move things dynamically, especially in a huge environment. What about you, Chris?
Tools are critical. I remember doing a large-scale virtualization engineering, and a lot of the value was being able to assess and right-size workloads, find the zombie workloads, which are ones that are basically just not doing anything. And that was all on-prem within vSphere as the example there. But being able to capture those same performance metrics from a public cloud instance where you don't have necessarily all the visibility, you don't own the infrastructure. That can help determine what size the workload should be. And in some cases, it needs to be bigger because the performance isn't being met. You may not know that. Or smaller, going down to a smaller instance size, which can save some real dollars there because you pay for what you provision, you don't pay for what you use. So you got to make sure the application is operating at the desired targets without spending your left arm and your right leg.
So Eric, we got a lot of the usefulness of Turbonomic and how it integrates, and even with, you know, modern hybrid cloud infrastructures and all the integrations you guys have built with AWS, Azure, SoftLayer, and Google Cloud coming soon. I'm curious to know, since you folks are deep in the weeds and in people's infrastructures, what they're actually building and how they're doing compute and storage and network and so on, I'm interested to see what you guys are really seeing in the real world. And that's because I live a bit in this media hype cycle sometimes. Oh, we got to write about OpenStack because it's really trendy, and, you know, on and on and on, and all these buzzwords and open source projects. But I'm finding it's very different what gets hyped and written and talked about versus what's really being run. And so for starters, I want to actually ask you about hybrid cloud. I mean, you've actually built a product to support that. I mean, but is it that big of a thing? Are you really seeing a lot of hybrid cloud environments?
Yeah, I mean, we briefly touched on it, you know, my view of what hybrid cloud was meant to be and what it actually is. That's the truth, is that hybrid cloud as we thought it would go isn't really happening. Hybrid cloud is more using the public cloud as an additional data center in your portfolio. And that's what it is. And that's why we love our place in that, because we view everything as one big pool of resources. And we can find the best supply of infrastructure in whatever pool it is, whether it's on-premises or out in the cloud. Truth is, you know, customers that are running using public cloud infrastructure, they're not really bringing stuff back and forth. They're not bursting as often as we thought. We've got the ability to burst to the cloud. We actually had a legit use case that we ran, and it's a really cool demo to watch because it deploys instances out into the public cloud and stretches it through load balancer all automatically, which is cool. And there's probably a handful of folks that are going to do that. But the truth is, people are just running separate infrastructure and just treating it as a separate pool of resources that run separate applications in that pool. Containers are the same thing. I got asked the other day, hey, do you guys work with unikernels? I'm like, do you? And they're like, no, as if we've bypassed, like, containers are so 2015, like, just Docker's dead. You don't know. The hype cycle is a dangerous thing to get attached to. You know, containers are a very interesting use case. And while some of the pundits are already trying to move beyond containers are very cool. Not as a replacement to virtual machine infrastructure, but as an additional arrow in the quiver. This is something that's it delivers a specific response to a business use case, whether it's rapid application development, microservices architectures that are enabled very easily with containers. Containers, for the purpose of containers, isn't the right thing to do. And I've wrote a bunch of times, and I speak about this all the time, that we are about to screw up containers the same way we screwed up virtual machines in 2006. We are going to P2V VMs into containers. Like, we are going to do massive 20 gig containers, which is completely counter to what it was meant to be used for. But in 2 years, containers will be probably prevalent in a lot of application environments. And we'll have learned a lot of things along the way.
You're making the point, it doesn't make sense to take a monolithic app and just, you know, cram it into a container, because it's not, you haven't adapted the application to work in the environment a container environment was meant to support, which I think what you're getting to is microservices architecture.
Yeah, that's exactly it. If you've got a monolithic app or a standalone single app, does it really make sense to refactor it and invest that? Like, that's not technical debt reduction. That's technical debt adoption. That's like subprime technical debt adoption. you don't need to revisit stuff that's not going to be shifting and moving. If there's not a response to a real use case, then let's not invest the time in it. However, you know, new application development, like, ooh, okay, maybe we should do that new thing. And then if we have time, let's look at where refactoring matters and makes sense.
Now, what about OpenStack? It's something that you've talked about quite a bit. And we've had various guests on the show. Some say it's out there in the wild, people are adopting it. Some say not really. It's kind of a mixed bag. What about your perspective? Is it being consumed and deployed and working with Turbonomic, or is it not real actual adoption?
It's It depends on what metric you measure, right?
Oh, it depends. You can't use the consulting answer. So the definitive yes or no.
I'm hitching my wagon to OpenStack, and I have done for a long time. I'm a believer in the platform as a concept. I'm a believer that it's still early in a lot of the heavy adoption, but it is legitimately being adopted in the wild by a lot of Fortune X customers, right? Like top tier financials, health services. There's tons of big companies that are using it. And that's that first use case. You know, will it stretch down into the small to medium business? Probably not for quite a while. But, you know, as you see, some of the stuff that's being done by Blue Box, you know, when they got bought by IBM, they were doing a neat thing of like packaged. Mirantis, still the largest open source valuation, whether that's a good metric to use or not. But, and all they do is OpenStack consulting.
Why is that, that the smaller, the medium folks won't use it? Just too complex? They don't have the people on staff to deploy the thing? Or is it just they don't need private cloud?
Both. You literally hit it on two nails on the head right there. You know, the use case isn't there where they don't need to consume a private cloud when you're a small to medium business, typically. And then the other one is there's still a bit more complexity around it versus you can deploy a 2016 server or 2012 server with Hyper-V on it, get a handful of virtual machines running super easy. You can deploy it in an hour. OpenStack, you can do with some of the packaged ones, but, and that's the other thing too, DIY builds, much less than packaged OpenStack, which is counter to where the OpenStack ecosystem wanted it to go. In a weird way, like if OpenStack hipsters are like, nah, man, you know, it's got to be artisanal. Like, stop with the fair trade organic OpenStack. It doesn't need to be that way.
I freshly grind my OpenStack every morning.
That's right, exactly. All hosts have been brewed within 30 minutes. Like, no, if you deploy Blue Box, if you deploy cloud scaling, if you deploy MetaCloud, please do it. You know, pay for it. I'm happy. That supports the ecosystem. It's still open source under the covers. It still drives a massive open source ecosystem. It's very, very cool.
So, Eric, another question here, something that's popped in my head. We've talked to the folks from Mesosphere about Apache Mesos and how that's used. I've been doing a ton of reading on Kubernetes, these scheduling tools that they're fascinating. Do you look at those tools? And first of all, do you see a lot of people getting into them? They seem to go hand in hand with containers typically. And then if you do, I mean, how does Turbonomic fit into that world? Because it almost seems like there's some functional overlap.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. So we work with both platforms today. So Mesosphere and Kubernetes, we have full integration with. And what we do is we deliver an open source scheduler plugin for both of those platforms. So what you do is you actually use our plugin. So if you're running Kubernetes infrastructure as your orchestration platform, the reason why you would still do that versus just using Turbonomic is Kubernetes has a purpose. It's able to, you know, discover infrastructure and deploy into infrastructure with its orchestration platform for containers and probably much more in the future. What it does is it has discovery for applications, and that's cool. But what's interesting is imagine being able to take the best of both, where you use your Kubernetes application infrastructure, and then Kubernetes, when it's looking for places to deploy, it doesn't use its round robin schedule. There's some health that's involved in the decision around deploying infrastructure, but it's still, I don't want to say it, I say it's fairly rudimentary. It's rudimentary as far as like Google's AI is fairly rudimentary, but it's not done in the same context that we do it. And that's why we had a really neat use case. So it will query the Turbonomic API through the open source scheduler. And then we deliver back a reply to say, here's where you should deploy that infrastructure. And not only do we do it again on initial deployment, but also continuously in real time, where we gather instrumentation out of the Kubernetes engine to be able to figure out where the workloads are, what the performance is, should you increase pods, move pods. Again, the use case is around, most people are like turn and burn infrastructure with Kubernetes. It's going to be like spin it up. It's not needed anymore. Destroy it. It's container Morgulis. They don't care in the long term about how it's going to go. Mesosphere is the same kind of idea. So where we want to be able to do is let your application consumers and developers use their comfortable interface, which is the Kubernetes API, the Mesosphere API, the CloudForms API, the whatever it is, vRealize. you continue to use your infrastructure, and then we simply become a plugin to be able to deliver the intelligent workload management through an open source scheduler so that you can get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, you're helping those platforms make an informed decision about where to place workloads.
Exactly. And while if you were to put us up against any single thing, people say like, oh, well, isn't Marathon probably pretty good within Mesosphere? And it is a great scheduler. However, you're probably not just running Mesosphere. You're probably also running your AWS. So Mesosphere doesn't have that visibility and the ability to deliver application performance all the way up the stack. It's simply thinking about Mesosphere, and that's great. So it's best of breed for that. Versus we can see the infrastructure you're running your Mesosphere on. We can see the applications that you're running within Mesosphere, and we can also see everything else and deliver application performance control across the entire portfolio. That's where that thing like the single pane of glass, I would never say that. We are proud to be the true integration point to deliver application performance on your multiple single panes of glass.
Eric, thanks for stopping by and sharing Turbonomic with the Datanauts audience. We're all going to be at VMworld. You know, this show is going out the week before VMworld, and we're going to be at VMworld. In fact, Datanauts has got a little booth that we'll have at the corner of the Turbonomic display. You guys have a big display kind of middle of the floor there. What can people expect there at VMworld?
Well, it's going to be the big show. You know, this is kind of like our Woodstock every year. VMworld's a huge present for us. We're going to have the largest booth we could possibly buy. We wanted to have a good presence there. We love the VMworld audience. So we'll be there. We're going to have a team. We're doing demos. We're doing theater presentations. We're going to do quite a few of them, both us, partners. We have our advanced solutions team there. So if you want to talk about Kubernetes, Mesosphere, containers, we have our engineering folks who built our integration and who work with this stuff every day. They're going to be there on site. We're going to be showcasing our new UI and the new user experience as well as a part of it, which is very, very cool. A fully fledged HTML5 interface, which is going to be the go forward solution for stuff. And you can come talk to me if you so desire. I'd love to connect with the community. I'm less attractive than talking to our engineers because they really can nerd out hardcore, which is a lot of fun. And of course, you know, like I said, we're very proud to host the Datanauts in our booth, and we're going to do what we can to make sure we highlight the great work that you guys are doing out in the field as well.
So Eric, how can folks follow Turbonomic and how can they follow you?
Yes. So of course you could go to turbonomic.com. You can find out lots of information there. You can also visit our Green Circle community. So if you go to greencirclecommunity.com, that's where you can interact with us on our fully open agnostic community. You can ask Turbonomic questions there, of course, but you can also talk about anything else. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me on Twitter is the easiest way. I am at Disco Posse, and I'm happy to meet up with folks. Looking forward to seeing everybody in Las Vegas. See us out on the expo floor. And yeah, we're going to actually publish a community schedule where we can do like open bookings for people just to come in and whether it's, you know, talk tech, talk community, talk career advancement, and just talk about anything. You know, we have a strong community presence and continuous involvement. It's the heart of what we do.
Well, that's it for today's Datanauts podcast. Our thanks today goes to Turbonomic, formerly VM Turbo, for sponsoring the show. You can reach me at EC Banks on Twitter or EthanCBanks.com is my blog. And you can digitally probe Chris at Chris Wall on Twitter. And his blog is wallnetwork.com. For more of our Datanauts shows about infrastructure engineering, aim your solar-powered keyboard at packetpushers.net. You'll find the Datanauts speaking from deep in the hot aisle about our lab projects, automation, full-stack engineering, containers, and so very much more. And until then, may your server lights blink, your storage spindles spin, and your cables be cleanly managed.